Physical production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, I am not a doormat. Are you tired of people walking all over you? We're going to help you get the respect you deserve. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled, I'm Not a Doormat, as we talk about how we can be generous and accommodating to others as we are called to be, as most of us, I think, want to be, without being a doormat, without being taken advantage of or stepped all over or having our concerns or needs dismissed.
Or used as though we were a vending machine or an object instead of the child of God that we are.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the reality is, you know, even though we are called by God and by our faith to be generous to others and to be willing to serve others as best we can using everything God has given us, we are not vending machines. You know, we are people who deserve to be treated with love and respect and dignity. But sometimes people can forget that. You know, our kids can certainly forget that. They forget that we are human beings.
And
they just sort of see us as big parental vending machines. Sometimes our spouse can treat us that way, or an employer, or even our friends, or extended family. The reality is there is no end to the list of people who are perfectly happy to take advantage of you if you let them. Now, that's not to say that they wake up in the morning and say, you know, how can I take advantage of this person? But we all can be a little short-sighted. And then, of course, there are people who build their whole life around using other people.
Well, so, unfortunately, true.
Either way, the reality is we've all been treated like doormats from time to time in our lives. How do we express that, you know, servant leadership, that generous heart, that self-giving life that Christianity calls us to, without ending up being somebody's doormat? Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, do you feel like someone in your life is taking advantage of you? Maybe you're feeling pressured to do something that you feel isn't in your best interests. Maybe you feel like someone is being dismissive of your needs or concerns. We, yes, want to be generous and forgiving and charitable and helpful, but that is not the same as being a doormat. Let us help you be that generous person you're called to be and still get the respect you deserve as a child of God.
Well, I really want to focus for a moment on the concept of the doormat imagery, because what is a doormat? It's not something you just walk over, although it is. It's usually something you wipe your feet on. You know, the dirt of somebody else's life, their stress, their anger, their fear, whatever it is. Some of them just want to wipe that all over us, right? And your spouse has had a rough day, and so they're snapping at you and demanding, and it's not very pleasant to have them in the room. Your child who's dealing with their own frustrations about whatever, the Legos won't go together right, the schoolwork is awful, the friends are not treating them well, so what do? They take it out on you, they wipe all that all over you. Then they feel fine. You know, the sibling who comes with their drama and dumps it all over you, and then they feel all better, and you're left just feeling yucky because of it. And it really goes back to a doormat is an object, right? Somebody's using that object to clean themselves up and get on with their lives, and the doormat is left there, you know, soiled and yucky. Well, that's a doormat's an object. It's meant for that. It's serving its purpose. our purpose in life is not to be dumped on. Our purpose in life is to be children of God who can serve, who can love, but who aren't being used. And I think when I think of this, I really think of the image of the hemorrhagic woman who reaches out in the crowd and touches Jesus. And he turns and he says, "Who touched me?" And his disciples are like, "Everybody, everybody's around you. Everybody wants to touch you." But he knew that power went out of him. And the first reaction was a little bit of like, who's using, you know, who I am in this moment? And as soon as he engaged with her in relationship, he knew it wasn't use. It was faith. It was a relationship she already had in her mind of, this is one who can heal and love and be part of, I want to be part of that. And he said to her, because of your faith, you have been healed. She didn't use him to just say, I'm going to see if he can, you know, I'm going to test the waters and see if he can make me better. He knew the moment he went into relationship with her, made that eye contact with her, began talking with her, that it was faith, that it was relationship. And Jesus was used by all of us in a way to give us redemption. But he never just said, here, use me for redemption. He entered into relationship with each and every one of the disciples and enters into relationship with us in Eucharist every single day. And in that relationship, we can have mutual self-donation. Jesus pours himself out for us, but asks for that relationship back, that growth from us, that constant communication with us. So there's a big difference between being a self-donative Christian that says yes to God and to others and being objectified and used by someone.
Yeah, well, and I think your point is, you know, superficially it can seem like, you know, these are the same kind of thing, but you know, because in both cases you're pouring yourself out, or mm-hmm. the Lord is pouring himself out. But what Jesus does is he pours himself out and then asks us to give ourselves totally back to him
in
return.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
And that should be the expectation for all of our human relationships as well. And that's why St. John Paul talks in the Theology of the Body about mutual self-giving, that healthy Christian relationships are founded on that idea of mutual self-giving, which means that in a healthy Christian relationship, everybody involved in that relationship works very hard to take care of each other's needs so that everybody gets their needs met without anybody having to worry, make too much of a fuss about it, right? And that's what we're talking about today here. You know, how do you serve generously without being taken advantage of? And if you feel like there is someone in your life who is kind of taking advantage of you, who tends to use you as that doormat, if you feel pressured to, for example, do something that you don't feel is in your best interest, and you're not sure either how to set the boundary or even if you're allowed to as a Christian, maybe you feel like someone's being dismissive of your needs or concerns and you bring them up only to be ignored or just completely blown off, you know, let us help you be that generous person you're called to be and still get the respect you deserve and the needs you need to have met. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, Greg, because each of us who, and I'm sure all of our listeners know that, you know, Christians are renowned, right? We are called to be generous. The whole world knows that. Sometimes they tell us we have to be in ways that we shouldn't be because, you know, oh, aren't you the Christian one if we don't? But that's the point. We're called to be generous to others and to say yes to opportunities of being of service. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a right to have our needs met as well. In fact, this principle of self-donation that we're trying to tease out here is articulated in the Theology of the Body and assumes that in godly relationships, all people in the relationship will be equally committed to meeting each other's needs, even when it requires them to grow and make sacrifices for one another.
And the virtue of assertiveness, and I don't know that a lot of people think of it as a virtue, but it is a virtue. Assertiveness allows us to achieve that mutual self-giving I was just talking about, because, you know, it allows us to have a healthy balance between meeting our own needs and being attuned to the needs of others. Assertiveness enables us to see ourselves not as vending machines that exist solely to be used up by others, but as persons who have gifts to give, but also have God-given needs that have to be met. And so let's talk a little bit about what assertiveness looks like. And we are asking you to call in with your questions at 877-573-7825. Let us help you stop being taken advantage of or ignored or disregarded in your life and relationships. If you've got someone that you feel is taking advantage, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Perhaps you feel like somebody's taking advantage of you, but you're not even sure how. You know, it's sometimes we have that internal feeling first. It's sort of the warning bell that starts to make us feel resentful or starts to make us feel depleted, but we don't have the time or the energy to really look at, wait a minute, you know, what's causing this? What about this in this situation or with this particular person is drawing out this response from me? And if you need help teasing that out and figuring out how to heal that relationship so that both of you have the dignity you deserve as children of God, that's what we're here for today. Give us a call on More to Life, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Research has identified five skills that assertive people have, which enable them to be generous to others whilst not being taken advantage of. And the first one is that assertive people are aware of their feelings in the middle of a difficult or possibly intense situation. They don't just ignore their emotions. Secondly, they trust that their feelings and ideas are valid and worthy to express. Thirdly, though, they manage those feelings well and put those feelings into words. So they are able to, articulate their emotions in a way that can be heard. They don't just vent. They don't blow up. They're not rude about it. They're just aware of their feelings and they're aware of their needs, and they try to find ways to express those things respectfully. Fourthly, they understand that the other person involved, and they try to imagine how that person feels and why. So in addition to feeling my feelings, at the same time, I'm trying to get a sense in my own head, you know, how would you feel about this and how it's coming across? And then finally, assertive people take into account the situation and the setting. You know, what does this situation require of me? You know, what are my goals? What am I trying to work for? So an assertive person is able to keep all that in mind at the same time so that they're aware of their feelings, they're expressing those feelings appropriately, they're aware of the other person's feelings and trying to accommodate that, but they're also aware of the big picture and the goal that they're working toward. And that's what enables them to really keep that balance. That said, it's easier said than done, so we want to help you achieve that assertiveness that prevents you from being a doormat in any of your relationships. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let's talk about those people and situations where you feel like you might be being taken advantage of. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for showing us how to serve others in ways that are respectful of our dignity. You know, your servant, Pope St. John Paul the Great, reminds us that just as you give all of yourself but expect us to give all of ourselves in return, we can ask others to give as much back to us as we give to them, that mutual self-giving is the key to a healthy, godly relationship. And yet, Lord, because of our brokenness and our sin, the truth is we do tend to take advantage of each other. We are often tempted to use each other. We are often tempted to disregard each other. We bring those people and situations to you and ask for the wisdom to know how to respond generously where we can, to set boundaries where we must, but in all cases work for your glory, the good of the people involved in the situation, and strive to be our best selves. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we are talking with you about being a doormat. How can you be the generous person you are called to be without being in a position where you are taken advantage of by others? Let's talk it out and find ways to be the person God calls you to be without being in a place where you are just a big old doormat. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, Mark in Pennsylvania DM'd us because he is at work and couldn't call in, he says. And he said, my best friend got married last weekend. My girlfriend and I were able to attend. It made me realize how much I want to get married and have a family. The priest's homily and the love between my friends really illuminated that for me. But my girlfriend of 2 years says she's not sure if she's ready, that she's going through a job change and everything right now is so abnormal that she wants to wait until all of this drama is over and she can catch her breath. I feel like those vows of commitment mean in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, and they would apply to all that we're going through now, and we should respond accordingly by getting married and making that commitment. Should I be giving her more time as she's asking for because she says those are her needs? Or is this a red flag that says I'm putting my love and hopes into a woman who can't commit to what I need? Is she just using me for company, or is she really willing to commit? What should I do?
Well, I think you kind of get at your answer there, actually, in the last sentence of what you said, Mark. I think you need to have a real conversation with her where you express exactly that to her and say, you know, look, I have feelings for you, and I would like to take this relationship to the next level, but I do get the sense that you're using me for company and that you're not really invested in a long-term relationship with me, and that's where I'm at. I'm at a place where I need somebody who is willing to make that lifelong commitment to me. And if you're not that person, you know, then I'm going to need to break up. And that's a really hard thing to hear after 2 years. But I'll just put this out there in general. If you're dating within 6 months to a year, you know, I mean, you can give it a good year, but to get through the holidays and see how people function around that, that's fine.
See the ups and downs of an entire year and all the seasons and how you do all that, negotiate all that together. But this is assuming, I want to put out there, that, you know, let's be honest here. If you're an adult Christian person and you believe in getting married, you really have to be entering into dating with an idea toward figuring out which person God has called you to be with and has created you to love and them for you to love and commit to forever. We can't go into dating thinking, oh, this is a nice person to spend a Saturday night with or just pal around with, because then often it goes on and on and on and on and on, and we don't have the intentionality that we then want from someone else.
And I think the other thing is, I don't know if you are doing this, Mark, but have you been praying about your relationship all along?
Yourself and with this person.
Yeah, one of the first things that a couple should be doing, you know, even on the first date, is, Lord, help us to know what your will is for this relationship, and help make this relationship whatever you want it to be. I think that you know, praying together and having a clear sense from the outset of what the expectations are, you know, that you are working towards something, that this isn't just, you know, having somebody to hang out with on a Saturday night, is important. But, you know, it sounds like you haven't done that. You didn't clarify the expectations early on in the relationship, and you maybe have not been praying about it. I think that's where you need to start now. Be clear about where you are at emotionally, and be honest with your goals with this woman. Start praying about the relationship together. But if she's not willing to make that commitment to you or have a serious conversation about what it would take to make a plan for that, then you need to wrap this up.
And I just want to say, Mark, that the fact that you had this insight during the holy sacrifice of the Mass at a nuptial Mass says a lot about the fact that it was the Holy Spirit who's guiding you through this. And so praying about it, as Greg has said, but then also praying, Lord, if this isn't the right person, please help me have the bravery to move on to your plan for all of this. Please help me have the strength to rely on you so that I can find that person and really find the vocation that you have for me and live that out. So you're going to need to keep in constant contact with God as you go through this walk.
877-573-7825. We're talking about being a doormat. How can you be generous in your relationships and be the person God is calling you to be without being taken advantage of or feeling like your needs or concerns are being dismissed? Give us a call. We'll help you get the respect you deserve. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Stick around for more to life and your calls coming up after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. For decades after Christ's resurrection, the gospel stories were circulated only by word of mouth. How is it possible that the gospel records were transmitted without error before being written down? The answers are intriguing. For one thing, in ancient Judaism, memories were perfected by endless repetition, patterned learning, and mnemonics. And it helped that the culture demanded complete recall. Further, the gospel stories were protected by the oversight of living eyewitnesses and the ever-present opposition in the crowds who were anxious to correct any misreporting. Finally, the reporting of embarrassing events about the authors themselves tells us that they were more interested in telling the truth than covering up. And all that is evidence for Christianity. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about how to avoid being a doormat on our show titled, I'm Not a Doormat. Are you tired of people walking all over you? Are you tired of feeling pressured to either do things that you don't feel are in your best interest or, you know, maybe respond to people without ever having them respect your needs or your concerns? This happens with kids a lot, you know, in parenting. We often as parents feel like, well, that's just the way kids are. But that's not the way it's supposed to be in a Christian household. And there are simple ways to make sure that you are getting the compliance and the respect and the relationship that you deserve with your kids. Same thing with relationships. I cannot tell you the number of people who call our counseling practice and feel like their spouse is walking all over them, but that's my cross. That is not your cross. The cross is learning how to love. And loving somebody means working for their good. And if somebody is taking advantage of you, working for their good means putting up a boundary that says, I'm not going to let you take advantage of me anymore. Because that doesn't just degrade you, it degrades them, right? But there's a lot of confusion about this, and honestly a lot of bad advice that gets put out there in relationships where you are being taken advantage of, because there's this perception that, well, you know, Jesus suffered, so therefore if I'm suffering in a relationship, that's my jam, right? That's what Christians are supposed
Welcome
to do.
Welcome to Christianity.
but that is not at right. all. No, and actually we talk about this, and God help me, these people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. You know, Jesus suffered when his mission required him to do so. When it was the only way to work for our good, to accomplish the goal the Father sent him to do. And even then, he asked the Father if there was any other way. please let this cup pass. But because there was no other way to accomplish the mission that the Father sent him to do, he accepted the suffering that was part of his mission. But in the many other times when people tried to persecute him or even kill him, stone him in one instance, he either escaped, defended himself, or disappeared from their midst, right? Because that was not part of his mission. There were other ways to accomplish that. And so, yes, in certain situations, we need to make sacrifices. We need to put ourselves out. And that's perfectly fine if that's the only way to do a thing. But that does not mean that we are obliged as Christians to put ourselves in one-sided relationships where we are constantly taken advantage of, because that is not a path to holiness for us or the person who's taking advantage of us. So if you feel that you are being taken advantage of in some way, it's okay to charitably and respectfully put up boundaries there. But sometimes it's hard to know how to do that. So let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Are you tired of people walking all over you? Do you feel like either your needs or your concerns or your interests are not being respected? Do you feel pressured to do things that aren't in your best interest, or do them in a way that aren't in your best interest? For that matter, are you concerned that someone you love is being taken advantage of in their relationships, and you're not sure how to support them in setting appropriate charitable boundaries? Let us help you with all of those situations and more. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to life. We'll be back with more of your questions, comments, and insights about being assertive when we come back after this.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Find out in any cultural situation, who's the Lord? There's somebody or some principle, some figure, some institution that has central importance in that culture. Whether it's king, whether it's the military, who knows what it is? Go up and down the centuries. What's the Lord? The declaration of the Lordship of Jesus will always be a challenge to whatever that reigning Lord happens to be. The Lord today is my personal freedom. I decide what my life is. I decide who I am. I decide everything from my gender to the ultimate meaning of my life. Now that personal freedom is so powerful that it's become the Lord. To evangelize the culture is therefore to challenge them and to say, no, it's not your own ego, not your own freedom that's Lord. Jesus determines the meaning of your life. Jesus is the center of your life, not your own freedom.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When should we pray? The Catholic Catechism asserts that any time is the right time. We learn to pray by hearing the Word of God and sharing in His Paschal Mystery. But the Holy Spirit is offered to us at all times in the events of each day, so that prayer can spontaneously spring up from us. Jesus teaches us that, like providence, time is in the Father's hands. We encounter Him in the present, not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. Psalm 95 cautions us, "If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts." Praying through the events of the day is one of the secrets of the kingdom, as revealed to little children, the faithful, and the poor of the Beatitudes. This means that the coming of the kingdom can influence the march of history, as well as humble, everyday events. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Piles of research show that what kids really need to grow up happy and healthy is you, the parents. Being an involved, loving, present parent who builds a trust-filled relationship with your child is the first line of defense between him and the rest of the world. But this has to start at the very beginning. Respond to your infant or toddler's needs promptly, generously, and consistently. Don't make them work for your attention. Trust the feeding and sleeping schedule God built into your unique and unrepeatable baby, instead of imposing arbitrary schedules on your child. Prompt, generous, and consistent response to your child's needs will lay the foundation for a strong parent-child relationship from the start. and allow you to grow in virtue by practicing heroic, self-donative love. You are your child's best hope for a healthy life full of joy. For more on raising happy, healthy kids, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled, I Am Not a Doormat. Do you feel like people are walking all over you sometimes? Maybe you have that sense that, you know, your feelings or your needs aren't being respected by the people in your life.
Or your viewpoint. I mean, so many of us are going through being treated badly because we have one viewpoint that opposes somebody else's viewpoint right now about anything. And it's really starting to wear you down and making you feel, you know, just messed up by it all.
You know, we all want to be generous, and we're called to be generous and forgiving and charitable and helpful, and that's a very good thing to be. But that is not the same thing as being a doormat. And we want to help you be that generous person God is calling you to be in all of your relationships, with your kids, with your spouse, with your friends and extended family and coworkers. But do it and still get the respect you deserve as a child of God. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let's talk about how can we be generous without being a doormat. With that, let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're talking with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia.
Hello, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
My 45-year-old son has recently separated from his wife and moved back in with us. And he does have a job. He was out of a job. He does have sort of a menial job now, not a career-oriented job, and he is educated. And he's just... We've been very generous with him, trying to help him, but he doesn't do anything to help himself. And he's starting to drink a bit, or more than a bit, and he doesn't seem to be really concerned about finding a job, and he's going to have financial responsibilities in this divorce. And I want to be kind and helpful, but...
Before you even told me he was drinking, I was going to ask you, is he drinking? So does he have a history with alcohol? Is that part of what broke up the marriage?
Yeah, minor. Nothing. He hasn't, you know, gone over the edge yet, but he does have a history of drinking too much.
I think it's more significant than you think, and I think it's a big factor in why he doesn't have, you know, the job and why he's lost his marriage, and I think it's time to set some limits with him. I think he needs to be in rehab. You know, because I think that you're underestimating the seriousness of this problem. If you got a 45-year-old guy who's got a menial job and no marriage,
and we want to say after being well educated, as you mom have said, after having a committed marital relationship and now it's gone, we're seeing that it would be one of two things. If you had called in and said, you know, this is really antithetical to who he normally is. Suddenly he's here with us and there's this lack of motivation, but it's not who he normally is. I would say maybe he's deeply grieving things and we just have to work out some things to help him get through the grief. The drinking is the telltale sign that this has been part of what's going on. He's either drinking because he's depressed, but the drinking is making everything worse and he needs help. Just sort of, you know, we go into this parenting or mommy mode sometimes with our adult kids where we think, if I just take care of them a little bit better as though they had the flu, things will get better, especially when our adult children go through something traumatic. But in this case, doing that will make it so much worse.
Yeah, I mean, at first I was thinking maybe he was dealing with a depression, but then you added, you know, that he's drinking a bit. I think he's drinking as a way of self-medicating for an undiagnosed depression. And that's why he's in the situation that he's in. So, you know, this is a guy who needs to have some very clear limits set with him where you're able to say, listen, son, I love you with all of my heart, and I'm sorry that you're going through all the things that you're going through, but you are not handling them as an adult would, and I can't have you be here if this is the way you're going to be. So here's the deal. You can stay here if you are contributing to the good of the household by helping us keep up the house and, you know, that sort of thing. If you are looking for a good paying job, you know, you can't fault him for not having the job, but you can at least hold him responsible for going to look for something. If you are going to treatment for your alcohol problem, I need to see you going to AA every day. I need to see you in therapy every week. We'll help you with that if we need to. We'll help, you know, we're going to help you get on your feet, but we're not going to enable you. And that's what's happening right now. He's retreated into your home, and, you know, in your effort to give him a soft place to land, you've actually accidentally fallen into enabling him. And I really do believe that the addiction is much more serious than you think.
Now, that said, I want to sort of prepare you that he's not going to be in love with you for saying this, right? He's not going to be like, oh, Mom, you're so right. Thank you so much for the light you've just shed on this situation for me, and skip off to rehab. He's going to go through denying it. He's going to go through being angry at you because you just don't get what he's going through and how hard life is right now, especially during a pandemic when he's going through this. There's going to be a lot of anger, frustration in dealing with this. You're going to have to be prepared. If he says, no, you're not right, that doesn't mean you're not right.
No, it means that you need to be a lot firmer about what your consequences would be. If he refuses to do these very simple things that I've proposed, number one, contributing to the good of the household, number two, making a consistent and concerted effort to get a real job, and number three, participate in a drug and alcohol treatment program, then he can't live with you. And you need to make that clear. You know, if he says no to any of these things, you need to start packing him up. And if he says, well, where am I going to go? It's, well, that's really up to you. You can stay here as long as you're willing to do those three things, but you can't if you're not. And that has to be the crisis that you're going to need to induce in order to get him the help that he needs. Now, he may not need an inpatient treatment program, but he does need to be going to AA every day, and he does need to be seeing a drug and alcohol counselor. You might want to reach out to a local drug and alcohol treatment facility to get some referrals for good drug and alcohol counselors in your area, and you might want to talk to that person to find out what are some of the best ways that you could support your son in getting the treatment that he needs. But it's very clear that there are some much more significantly serious issues here than you've given it credit for. And working for his good means setting these boundaries. You're going to feel terrible about doing this, okay? And like Lisa said, he's going to push back on this. I want to go back to something that the Pope Benedict said in his document, Deus Caritas Est, God is love. He makes a distinction in there between sentiment and love. And sentiment is when we do what we feel is loving, whether or not it produces healthy results. Love is when we do what is necessary to work for the good of another person, even if we don't feel like it or it feels bad to do it. Right. But love always puts the good of the other person first. And, you know, if doing any of the things I'm suggesting makes you feel guilty or makes you feel bad, or he, you know, plays on that sympathy, please know that is not love. That is sentiment. And if you love your son, really love him, you will be willing to set the boundaries that help him get the treatment that he needs to get his feet, get it back on his feet. But just giving him a safe space to land is not going to work. He's going to take advantage of that and sink in even deeper.
Well, and one of the cautions here, you know, I heard you saying there's going to be financial situations in this upcoming divorce. That probably means that there are also children involved. So for the sake of his children, you really need to be calling him on to getting healthy and well on top of his own sake. And right now he's separated from his wife. If he really enters into treatment and begins to really, you know, get his life in order, there may even be a chance that the marriage can be healed, because probably your daughter-in-law has set a very defined line in the sand in an attempt to get him to heal his life and to begin to to be able to do what he needs to do as her husband. And so backing her up on that, making sure that you're really calling him on to healing and rehab in this situation is the strongest and best thing you can do as his mother and as a woman of God in this situation.
But whatever the bigger picture situation, the next step begins with you being clear about what you can support and what you can't. We talk about this more in God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, which is a book all about setting charitable boundaries that lead to healing, both personally and in our relationships. Check it out if you need a little bit more guidance. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 about the challenge of being treated like a doormat. You know, do you feel like someone in your life is taking advantage of you, whether they mean to or not? You know, a lot of people just sort of bump along oblivious to how they're using others, and then we feel bad having to call their attention to it. But as I was sharing with our previous caller, if we love somebody, that means working for their good. And at the very least, working for somebody's good means not letting them act like a jerk, right? And so if somebody is treating you poorly, it's okay to charitably point that out. You know, you don't have to assume that they're out to get you, that you don't have to assume that they meant to do it. But you can say, look, you know, maybe you don't mean anything by this, but the way you're treating me is really hurting my feelings, and we need to do something different about it. Now, that can sometimes be hard to summon the courage for, and if they push back, it's hard to know how to overcome that resistance. So if you find yourself in that place, give us a call. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let us help you be the generous, compassionate person that God calls us to be without being a doormat in the process.
Or if you, as Greg was saying, have somebody in your life who is allowing themselves to be treated like a doormat, and you're saying, what can I do? What can I do as a caring, loving Christian person in this person's life to call them on, to help them to see that they're being used or taken advantage of or treated badly? Because I want healing for them. They shouldn't be treated this way. We're here to help you figure out what to do for them as well at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
We're going to head out to our break, but first it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
I think, you know, the point of this scripture for today's show is that, as we were sharing earlier, God is infinitely generous to us. He truly is. I mean, and even Jesus gave us his all on the cross. But we sometimes forget those gifts are not given for free. God asks us to give all of ourselves back to him in return. And if we refuse to do that, we don't actually enjoy the eternal benefits of a relationship with God. So God gives generously, but he requires us to give generously back. And that is the foundation of a healthy human relationship as well, as St. John Paul pointed to. Mutual self-giving is the key to healthy Christian relationships. And if you're being treated like a doormat, that isn't your call. It's not your mission. And it's okay to set limits. Let's talk about how to do that on the program today at 877-573-7825. Again, the number 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back with more of your questions, comments, and insights about assertiveness and avoiding being a doormat when we continue after the break. Stick around.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GET-CURO.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
I had a guy come up to me. He says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master. And the Master is Jesus.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking today about the challenge of being generous without being a doormat. And the reality is there doesn't seem to be an end to the list of people who are standing right at the ready to take advantage as soon as we let go. And again, we're called to be generous, and it's good to be generous and forgiving and charitable and accommodating. But we are not vending machines, and it's not okay for people to treat us like them. Do you feel like someone in your life is taking advantage of you? Are you feeling pressured to do something that you feel isn't in your best interest? Are you feeling like your no is not being respected, or your concerns are not being heard, or your needs are not being met, no matter how you bring them, how many times you bring them up? No matter who it is, whether it's your kid, your spouse, coworker, friend, family, you name it, we want to help you be the generous person you're called to be, that you want to be, but still get the respect you deserve as a child of God. Let's talk about how to make that work at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Well, and I think that often we get confused because we fit a certain role. So, yes, everybody should take advantage of me because I'm the mom. Or everybody should expect this level of something from me because I'm the dad. I know when we talk to married couples at conferences, this really shocks people that being in a particular role doesn't mean that you just have to check off the boxes. Like, dad always has to be the one who mows the lawn, takes out the garbage, whatever it is. Mom's the one who keeps the house perfectly and gets the laundry done. And if that person doesn't do that, then they're not being, you know, fulfilling their role perfectly, because we're not just our roles. We're human beings.
Well, yeah, and you know what? There are other kinds of roles, too. So, for example, you know, I might identify myself as the fixer. You know, the person who gets stuff done, that if I don't do it, it's not going to happen, mm-hmm. right? And that role, maybe we inherited in our family of origin. But again, that's just a role. And you are not a role, you are a person.
And a person created in the image and likeness of God.
And what that means, again, is that you have the right to have your God-given needs met as well. Sometimes we can feel selfish asserting that. But stating that you have needs is not selfish. What makes you selfish is if you are unwilling to negotiate how your needs are met and when your needs are met, but not the fact that you have needs. Those were given to you by God. 877-573-7825. Let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're talking now with Kate, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hi, Kate. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you so much for your wonderful show. I'm sorry I'm getting emotional, but you have such a kind voice, so much like a wise father, and I haven't had that for over 20 years.
God bless
so
you, Kate. Thank you.
So I just want to let you know how much I appreciate your radio show and hearing your voice and your wisdom and your kindness.
Well, thank you so much, Kate. You know, I really appreciate you saying that. It's always lovely to get that feedback from folks, but it sounds really like you're hurting a lot. And is there something we can do to kind of help you out in your situation here?
What your topic was today certainly applies to me. People just taking advantage, and I'm not sure, you know, am I being Christian based on their circumstances that I'm not constantly trying to help them, or not constantly, mm-hmm. but try to help them.
Okay.
For instance, yesterday I was supposed to meet someone for lunch. She has a history of mental illness. She never showed up. I waited mm-hmm. about 45 minutes. And when I tried to call to find out if she was all right, they kept hanging up the phone on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. That must have really hurt a lot. So let me now with somebody like that, you know, you're dealing with somebody who has a mental illness, and depending on the severity of that mental illness, they may not be able to be counted on, you know. And so in charity, it can be helpful to be able to say, look, what is this person actually capable of, right? And I want to hold them accountable for what they're capable of. But recognize that, you know, there are certain things they can't do. And so you might adjust the relationship accordingly. And you might say, well, look, you know, I can't count on her to actually show up at a restaurant for a meal. So in the future, if we plan a date, I'll just go over to her place. Right. And then I can make sure that happens. Right. But let's back this up a second and talk about the larger picture issue.
Right, exactly, because with this particular person, it's fine to have that leeway and figure out how you can make those successful connections with her. But if this is something that makes you personalize that because it's happening with other people so much, that's when we have to look at that bigger picture.
And Kate did tell our screener that she feels like a lot of people do take advantage of her, and she mentioned that on the call. So let's talk just bigger picture. What is the Christian's role? Right. In relationship, how do we manage to be generous and still get our needs met and get to be persons in our own right? So, look, I'm going to start really big picture here for just a second, because I think this is important to show how deep this goes in our Christian faith. And I'm going to throw out a $10 word here, but it's actually kind of a cool word. I'll break it down for you. The word is perichoresis, perichoresis. Now, what it literally means is to dance around. That's what the word means, to dance around. Peri, around, choresis, same root word for choreography, right? Perichoresis, to dance around. It's a word that the fathers of the church used to describe the Trinity. Specifically, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in a dance that allows them to be one God but still be three persons. You know, a perichoresis, it's like an intimate, like a folk dance, right? You know, those where you go in you join hands and you're in a circle, and then you can like go under each other's arms
and out of each other. And everybody knows the steps, so it works.
Right. And with perichoresis, what it is, you are functioning as one unit, but you're making room for each other to be your own people too and dance your own steps as well. And that is the word that the fathers of the church used to describe the relationship that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have with each other. They are one, and they function as one, but they are still three persons in their own right. And in the same way, we are called to communion with others. We are called to build relationship and connection and intimacy with others and be generous to others. But we also, like God, in whose image we are made, have a right to make room and expect others to make room for us to be our own persons too. So practically speaking, let's bring this down to the practical level now. You know, how do you know how to be generous in ways that still allow you to be a person? I suggest using what I call the qualified yes technique. Somebody asks you to do something. Rather than immediately saying, should I say yes or no, think of the qualified yes technique, which is you ask yourself, how could I do this in a way that would actually work for me? So in other words, you can say yes to the request, but you qualify the how and the when. So you say, well, I would love to be able to help you with thus and such, but I can't do it on Tuesday. I could do it on Wednesday, right? Or I would love to help you with this and that, but I could do this much, but not that part, right? So it's a qualified yes. You're saying yes, but you're also respecting the fact that you have certain needs that must be attended to as well. Yes, I can do that, but first I need us to talk about how I can also address this concern I've got. right? So you're still saying yes in all those cases, but there's a qualification that allows you to exist and express your needs as well. That qualified yes technique allows you to be heroically generous in some cases, but still acknowledge that there are needs that you have a right to have met. We actually talk about this more in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. So, Kate, I'd really encourage you to check that out. If there's more we can do to support you beyond that, don't hesitate to call us again here on the program or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about all of the resources we offer. If you, listeners, are looking for ways to continue to be that godly, generous, charitable, compassionate person that you want to be and the Lord's calling you to be, but not be in the position of constantly being taken advantage of or treated like a vending machine, check out the many resources we do have for you at CatholicCounselors.com. And remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and celebrate the life that He has for you.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.